Let's ask the Lord to speak to our hearts. That's what these Sunday evening messages are about in recent weeks, our hearts. If the heart's not right, nothing's right. Both in the spiritual realm and the physical realm. When you go to the doctor, what's one of the first things they do when you go to see them? I don't mean step on that dumb scale. Somehow they got it in their heads in recent years that that's the starting point. That's a bunch of baloney, but it's the baloney that shows up on the numbers, the baloney sandwiches and things like that. But what's one of the first things they check when they're always going to check it? What is it? What? Your heart. Your heart. Why? Because the heart is the answer to everything. I know blood pressure is connected to your heart, Gene, but it was that stethoscope, and let's listen to your heart. So as we continue on these Sunday evenings, I trust that the Lord is speaking to our hearts. Because if the heart ain't right, nothing's right. Father, we're thankful that we can come to you. We pray your guidance, leading, and direction this evening. I pray that you would get the glory in what transpires. Guide me in what to say, what not to say. Most of all, may you get through the message that you want us to hear. And then may we have willing hearts to act upon it. And we ask all these things in your name. Amen. Well, Andrew, let's call this one, Just So You'll Know. Just So You'll Know. He thought that he had it all worked out. What could possibly go wrong? How would anyone ever find out? Turn with me to Joshua chapter 7. Joshua chapter 7. And let's begin at verse 2. Joshua sent men from Jericho to Ai, which is beside Beth Aven, on the east side of Bethel, and spake unto them, saying, Go up and view the country. And the men went up and viewed Ai. And they returned to Joshua and said unto him, Let not all the people go up, but let about 2,000 or 3,000 men go up and smite Ai, and make not all the people to labor thither, for they are but few. So there went up thither of the people about 3,000 men. And they fled before the men of Ai, and the men of Ai smote of them about 36 men. And they chased them from before the gate unto Shebarim, and smote them in the going down. Wherefore the hearts of the people melted and became as water. And Joshua rent his clothes and fell to the earth upon his face before the ark of the Lord until evening. He and the elders of Israel, and they put dust upon their heads. And Joshua said, "Alas, O Lord God, wherefore or why hast thou at all brought this people over Jordan to deliver us into the hand of the Amorites to destroy us? Would to God we had been content and dwelt on the other side Jordan. O Lord, what shall I say when Israel turneth their backs before the enemies? For the Canaanites and all the inhabitants of the land shall hear of it and shall invine us round or close us in and cut off our name from the earth. And what wilt thou do unto thy great name?" And the Lord said unto Joshua, "Get thee up. Wherefore, why are you lying thus upon your face? Israel hath sinned, and they have also transgressed my covenant which I commanded them, for they have even taken of the accursed thing, have also stolen and dissembled also, or lied also, and they have put it even among their own stuff. Therefore, the children of Israel could not stand before their enemies, but turned their backs before their enemies, because they were accursed. Neither will I be with you any more, except you destroy the accursed from among you." Following the Lord's instructions, in the verses which follow, Joshua located the man who had caused the trouble and questioned him as to his actions. Look at verses 19 through 23. "Joshua said unto Achan, my son, give, I pray thee, glory to the Lord God of Israel, and make confession unto him. And tell me now, what hast thou done? Hide it not from me. And Achan answered Joshua and said, indeed, I have sinned against the Lord God of Israel, and thus have I done. When I saw among the spoils a goodly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them, and behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent, and the silver under it. So Joshua sent messengers, and they ran unto the tent, and behold, it was hid in his tent, and the silver under it. And they took them out of the midst of the tent, and brought them unto Joshua, and unto all the children of Israel, and laid them out before the Lord, not Achan and his family, but the accursed items, the garment, the gold, the silver. They laid it out before the Lord. What an illustration of the passage that we really want to spend our time looking at this morning or this evening. You say, well, I thought it was in Joshua. No, that was just to get us there. Our text this evening is Proverbs 28, 13, and 14. And turn with me, if you would, to that section. Proverbs 28, 13, and 14. And in these two verses, we discover each verse, each of these two verses has two options. We've been talking for a couple of weeks or so about the importance of the confession of sin, especially if we want to see God answer our prayers. We started this a few weeks back with Psalm 66:18, which said, if I regard or overlook or ignore sin in my heart, what's the rest of the verse say? The Lord will not hear me. And we have spent a couple of other weeks following that, still carrying on more verses to support that very truth. Whether we like to believe it, admit it, or live our lives like it, sin is much more costly in our lives than most of us as Christians give it credit for. And I suppose I don't respond. Suppose I'm not ready to do anything about it. Well, we want to see a couple more verses this evening to get the answer to that question. Let's see what to expect. Notice, first of all, in verse 13 of Proverbs 28, he that covereth his sin shall not what? Prosper. Covereth, it means to conceal or hide. I have a number of verses that we could look at in each of these, and I'm just going to give you one or two at the most here because I want us to be able to complete our material. Proverbs 11:13. Well, that's not what I wanted to say. Sorry about that. Psalm 40, verse 10. Here we go. Conceal or hide, covereth. I have not hid your righteousness within my heart. I have declared your faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed your loving kindness and your truth from the great congregation. Covereth. Here, the writer of Proverbs tells us in verse 13, he that covers his sin will not prosper. In 32:5, it says, I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid or covered. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and you forgave us the iniquity of my sin. Well, that's the first thing that we notice in that verse 13. The one that covers his sin shall not prosper. Achan literally thought he could cover his sin, didn't he? He thought he could hide it under the dirt. We might not take such literal attempts, but you know we all have ways to try to cover, conceal, hide sin in our lives. Pretend like everything is okay. That's one way, isn't it? Don't let on like there's something that's not right. And the list could go on. But the thing that I want us to see as we move on in this verse is the Lord says, the one that covers his sin, no matter how we try to conceal it or hide it, there is something you can expect. And what he says here is, that one shall not prosper. Now, when he says shall not prosper, what's he referring to? Is he referring to riches, wealth? You know, the one that covers his sin is never going to get rich. That's not what he means by the use of this word prosper here. Literally, the word means to push forward. Wilson's, in their Old Testament word study, says to accomplish successfully. I think we can understand that, can't we? The one who covers his sin will not accomplish successfully. Why? Because there's sin. There's sin. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. Isaiah 55, 10 and 11. As the rain cometh down on the snow from heaven and returneth not thither, but watereth the earth and maketh it bring forth and bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater, so shall my words be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereto I sent it. It will accomplish what I intend my word to do. Hey, you know, these two verses are a good one to take to heart, to memorize as we give thought to something we ought to give a lot of thought to, and that's witnessing to others and giving out God's word. Well, I do it all the time, Pastor, but you know, I never see any results. The Lord has a promise here in these two verses, and what is he saying? It shall what? Huh? It shall prosper, but he also said, it shall accomplish that which I please. It's going to accomplish what I intend it to. Give it out. Remember, Isaiah was the one that had that discouraging ministry. We saw that, I believe, last Wednesday evening. I referred to it in the membership meeting. So many times we get discouraged and we want to throw in the towel. Isaiah was called to what we would call a losing ministry. God called him to go and give the word, preach, but nobody is going to listen to you. Nobody is going to be able to see and understand what you're trying to show them. And Isaiah said, how long, Lord, do I do this? And the Lord's answer to him was, until there's nobody left to hear and the cities are vacant. Keep doing what I've given you a job to do, and don't worry about the results. It will prosper. This is our word. It's going to accomplish what I intended to. Now, back in our text, the one who covers his sins, tries to hide them, tries to tell himself, this is okay. Nobody's perfect. I can get away with this. The Lord certainly will bless. I mean, he knows that I really want to accomplish good. He knows that I really want to see things happen to his glory, doesn't he? The one that tries to overlook and not deal with sin in his life, that one will not prosper, period. Let's move on. We see here in verse 13, but, I like that, that's one of those trigger words, you know, many times in situations like this. It's the word that, you know, if I were going to think about it and write God's word down, places like this, I would have put it in red letters so that it pops out and gets our attention. But whoso confesseth and forsaketh them shall have mercy. Here's the contrast to that. Stop and think about this. Confesseth. We understand what confessing is, don't we? Basically, to confess something is to admit or to say the same thing about something. You're right. That's what I did. Achan, when Joshua questioned him in Joshua chapter 7, we read a few moments ago, tell me, what did you do? When I saw among all of the things this Babylonish garment, oh, I coveted it. I gotta have that robe. That's about what it was back then. I've got to have that. And I took it, and I saw there was some silver and gold laying by it, and so I took that too, and I hid them in my tent. What did Achan do? He admitted, he confessed, he said what he had done. And that's what really confessing is. Confessing is to say the right thing, to say the same thing. My wife and I, if I had a dime for every time we've had this conversation in over 54 years, I could buy you a Babylonish garment. I could buy you anything I want. What we talk about situations between individuals, perhaps between scraps and squabbles we see among even our own children, or let's take it closer to home, even between she and me. You say, you never have any scraps or squabbles, do you, Pastor? You know what? Yesterday, I was doing something and I rubbed my finger across the sharp point of a nail that was sticking out. And you know what began to happen? Huh? I started bleeding. What's your point, Pastor? What happens when you scrape your finger up against the nail? What starts happening? You bleed. What's your point, Pastor? I got red blood in me, and I... What's your point, Pastor? So many times, Jerry and I will have been in the thick of it, and we'll talk about confessing or saying the word, will you forgive me? So many times, we're quick to just say, oh yeah, I know I shouldn't have done it. I was wrong. But have we actually said the words, it was wrong for me to... I admit it, and will you forgive me? Here, confess it. Whoever confesses, we're always so quick, oh yeah, it was, I lost my temper, it wasn't right of me, but that's not going the rest of the way and clearing the air, is it? Doesn't it, my house? We need to work at it until we say the same thing, until we've actually verbalized what it is. What was the offense? And the offense was, And I'm sorry, I should not have offended in this way. Will you forgive me? And there's a promise here. It says, whoso confesseth, to say the same thing, and then what? Forsaketh. If you forsake something, what does that mean? You have done what to it? Huh? You've left it behind. The sad thing of it is, I've discovered that even in my own life, there's things that they're kind of like weeds in the lawn. How many of you have ever pulled up a weed in your grass, in your lawn, only to discover a couple of weeks later, why, you rascal, here you are coming right back again. I guess I didn't get all of the roots. There was enough. I thought I got you all. I thought there was no more. No, there was still, you didn't really forsake. You just broke off. If we want to see God's blessing, we must confess what sin I have committed, and then we must forsake it. This is wrong. By God's grace, I will not go back and do that again. That's where we begin to see God's blessing. Joshua chapter 24, 20. Joshua 24, 20. If you forsake the Lord and serve strange gods, then he will turn and do you hurt and consume you after he has done you good. That was quite a solemn warning, wasn't it? For the children of Israel at the end of Joshua's life, they had seen God's blessing. Things had gone so good for them, but in a solemn occasion, Joshua said, I want you to understand that if you turn your back on the Lord, he is going to turn his back on you, and he will do you hurt. He'll consume you after all the good that he's done for you. That's how serious sin is in our lives. We need to keep that in mind. In that 13th verse, whoso confesseth and forsaketh those sins shall have what? What? Mercy. Mercy. Psalm 103. Let's pick up at verse 10. He hath not dealt with us after our sins, nor rewarded us according to our iniquities. That one humbles me every time I read it, because I know that is certainly true. Have I gotten what I really deserve? I'll be first in line to tell you, I know I haven't. How about you? Have you gotten what you deserve? As the heaven is high above the earth, so great is his mercy toward them that fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far hath he removed our transgressions from us. Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust. As for man, his days are as grass. As a flower of the field, so he flourisheth. For the wind passeth over it, and it is gone, and the place thereof shall know it no more. But the mercy of the Lord, and that's the promise here, the one that confesses and forsakes shall have mercy. The mercy of the Lord in verse 17 is from everlasting to everlasting upon whom? Them that fear him. And his righteousness unto children's children, to such as keep his covenant, and those and to those that remember his commandments to do them. What a blessing is promised there. But we gotta move on. We move on back in our text, Proverbs 28. Let's move to that second verse. Verse 14. Happy is the man that feareth always. Happy. That word happy, in some translations, what does happy mean? It means to be blessed. Blessed, blessed is the one that fears the Lord always. Proverbs 3:13. It says, happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. We could find reference after reference that speaks of this very thing. Here in our text, happy, blessed is the person that feareth always, or always. Feareth. To fear in general, or to stand in awe. Now, if you grab a hold of a concordance and start doing some searching on fearing the Lord, you're going to discover that in this verse, verse 14, this is not the word commonly used for fearing the Lord. It's not the word which is commonly used. Look at Hosea 3, 4 and 5. Hosea 3, 4 and 5. For the children of Israel shall abide many days without a king and without a prince and without a sacrifice, without an image and without an ephod and without teraphim. Afterward shall the children of Israel return and seek the Lord their God and David their king, and shall fear the Lord and his goodness in the latter days. Same word, same thought. Standing in awe of the Lord. He says there's going to be a time, and this is what's going to happen. God's people are going to stand in awe of him. In Psalm 119, verse 161, this same word is used here. Psalm 119, 161, and notice the last part of that verse. My heart does what? Standeth in awe of thy word. That's the same word that we see Solomon using in verse 14 of Proverbs 28. When we saw that the one who fears the Lord, happy is the one that fears the Lord, feareth always, stands in awe always of the Lord. And the reader then is given this particular option. Do you want to be blessed? Do you want to be happy? Do you want to have that peace in your heart that your life is what it ought to be with the Lord? Or does the second option in that verse sound better to you, or in that reference? But he that hardeneth his heart shall fall into mischief. Hardeneth his heart. Hardeneth, it means to be tough, stiff. And this particular word is usually spoken of with regard to one's neck. Have you ever heard of anybody stiffening their neck? Have you ever tried to direct a child who doesn't want to be directed? And you try to let them know that they need to go over there and they want to go over there, and perhaps you lay your hands upon them, and what do? They stiffen they harden, and they're telling you, I will what? I will not. Oh, I always loved that one. Right, Kim? Kim always liked that one. Dad always liked it. When a child says, I will not, what can you say? We see here the fact that the one who hardens his heart, and there are some relevant passages to that. Let me give you one. Zechariah 7, 8 through 12. Zechariah 7, 8 through 12. And here we read, the word of the Lord came unto Zechariah, saying, thus speaketh the Lord of hosts, execute true judgment and show mercy and compassions, every man to his brother, and oppress not the widow, nor the fatherless, the stranger, nor the poor, and let none of you imagine evil against his brother in your heart. But they refused to hearken, and pulled away at the shoulder, there's our word, and stopped their ears that they should not hear. Yes, they made their hearts as an adamant stone. Their hearts, hard as what? A stone, a rock, lest they should hear the law and the words which the Lord of hosts had sent in his spirit by the former prophets. Therefore, great wrath from the Lord of, therefore came a great wrath from the Lord of hosts. What's coming to one who hardens his heart? It says they'll fall into mischief. To fall is to be overthrown, fail, perish. We get a picture of that in the book of Esther. Esther chapter 6. And we see this illustrated. Ezra chapter 6, verse 13. Haman told Zeresh, his wife, and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zeresh, his wife, unto him, if Mordecai truly is of the seed of the Jews, before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him. But you're surely going to fall before him. This is that same word used here regarding the enemy of the Jews. The one that hardens his heart, he's going to fail. He's going to fall into mischief. evil, calamity, sorrow, trouble. Well, I trust these two verses are a benefit to us to stop and think about the options they present to us. How good God is to tell us what we can expect. Sometimes people say, well, that's not fair. You know, what God does, it's not fair. You know, you can't blame God for not being fair here. He spelled it out so clearly. You have options to know His favor and blessing or experience defeat and failure. Make the right choices. The whole point of this is we need to get sin out in the open, get rid of it, and avoid a hard heart of rebellion. Let's stand and we'll be dismissed in prayer. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for what we could see. We saw some examples of characters that really showed us what to expect as we looked at the failure and judgment upon Achan. He thought he could ignore what you had said. He thought he could hide sin from your eyes. But may we learn from it. He learned the hard way. But Lord, the truth of the matter is we too will learn the hard way if we do not confess, get sin out in the open, turn from it, forsake it. When we do, we find the promise of your blessing and your joy that comes to our hearts. Take us safely to our homes. Give us a good week according to your will. And may we come back looking forward to what you have for us. In your name I pray. Amen.